This episode is brought to you by...
Hey, Billy Bonham here, owner of Pizza Classics, located in downtown Kyle. We've been serving our community since the 90s and proudly support local Hayes athletics. At Pizza Classics, we do things the old school hard way because I think it makes a better product for our customers. Dough is made fresh daily and veggies are always hand cut. We shed our 100% whole milk mozzarella in-house, as well as make our own sauce from scratch. Lastly, we bake on stone. Doing it the right way takes some extra time, but we let our product do the talking. Thanks for your business. I truly appreciate it.
Entertaining shows with content that spreads information and sparks discourse throughout the community. This is the Pearl Media Network.
Welcome to the Kyle Life Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to showcasing what makes Kyle, Texas unique. We interview local business owners, politicians, and talk with everyday residents to further promote our beautiful city. This podcast is brought to you by KyleLife.com and is proudly part of the Pearl Media Network. We thank you for tuning in today. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey guys, Joshua here with Kyle Life, and today we're recording from the Pearl Media Network studios located in West Kyle. Joining me for this episode is Adriana Garza, the founder of Creative Arts of Austin, a local acting studio here in Kyle that offers courses for aspiring youth, teens, and young adults interested in acting, filmmaking, video production, and more. Adriana, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been fun so far.
I know, right?
I always like to call or at least thank people who will humor me with my small talk before we record. And thank you so much.
That was like an awesome time.
Okay, I'm glad. Yeah, you're just being nice. I know you're just
I'm not. You're actually very fun to chat with.
I appreciate it. I love small talk. And that, we're recording now, so I won't small talk even more.
No
because
worries.
Time
because I've got
flies.
A boss at home.
That's right. Yes, we got to get you back to that kid.
Got a two-year-old.
Yeah, they run the show. I understand with my own. But let's get this started off by having you tell us more about yourself, your background, with the studio, and then what led to the creation of Creative Arts of Austin.
Okay. It's so funny. I always get shy when I have to talk about myself. You'd think an actor would like me. I'll like, just say, hey.
Yeah, like, here I am.
I'm like, can someone else tell them my background? I'm just kidding. So I'm from El Paso. So I grew up doing like theater and a lot of like art related stuff. My uncle ran the Cultural Institute of Mexico. And
nice.
So we grew up in the arts. He went to Harvard and he's like a published poet. My mom's a ballerina. I have an
it's
aunt.
It's in your blood.
Yes. I have an aunt who's an actress. So it was kind of like everybody got put into the arts and we're seven kids. And I'm the only one who was like, I will do this for a career. And then they freaked out. They're like,
what?
We wanted you to love it as a kid, but to go as a career.
Yeah.
So.
That's funny.
At I think I was like 16 or 17 when I moved to Mexico City. And okay. I studied fine arts there. And then I saw, which are great, but it was not what I wanted to do. I saw that it was all basically soap operas. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't think I want to be
no
soap opera queen. No, wasn't for me.
That's my dream, personally, for acting.
I've got friends. We can get you hooked up.
I don't have the look.
I've got soap opera star friends. We can get you hooked up.
Fantastic. See, I'm glad. I'm already profiting from this. This is
right?
fantastic.
There you go.
So Mexico City, sorry.
So no worries. So I did that. And then I realized, okay, I'm going to go back to El Paso and finish high school and then see, like Los Angeles seemed like so far away. Like it just seemed like such a distant, like not happening dream. But I was like, let's think about it and see, you know, what feels right. So when it came time to register at UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't. I have to follow my heart. And so I'm just going to take that leap of faith. And like, I think I had like $500. I worked at the Black Eyed Pizza Hostess.
Hey, are those still a thing now?
No. Yeah, they are. They're in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And I worked at Lerner, which is like New York and company now.
Okay.
And they had offered me like an assistant manager position. And I was like, I think I'm going to take my $500 that I put together. And I'm going to take a one-way ticket, you know, to LA and just kind of.
Was it a bus?
I was 19. It was actually a plane ticket, but I'm sure my mom helped.
Okay, right on.
I can't recall.
Well,
but
isn't that always the old adage, like the young aspiring starlet
gets off the bus
on the bus? Yeah, exactly, right.
In LA.
So you got off the plane in LA at what age?
At 19.
19.
So I graduated from high school, and I decided to not go to UTEP and go there.
And your family probably gave you thumbs up and like, hey, yeah, follow your dream.
Yes,
didn't they?
No. My mom did. My mom's always been very supportive.
That's awesome.
But she's also a parent. Now that I'm a parent, I understand like how scary it can be. You know,
for
especially
sure.
for a career that's considered like not stable.
Yeah.
So my very first job there was working. I had shot a film in El Paso actually, And I'd
before
worked,
the move.
Yes. Okay. I worked my first feature film down for the barrio, Mi Barrio, on Univision in Spanish. And it was shot in English and Spanish. I don't know if you're familiar with Little Joe and La Familia. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Tejano singer.
The group? Yeah, totally.
So he was the star of the movie.
Oh, really? Hey.
So he's like, hey, I'm friends with Paul Rodriguez. Like, call him when you're out there.
The comedian.
Yes. Yes. And so I was like, oh, I will. You know, most people may be like, oh, sure.
It's just one of those things you say like, oh, yeah.
Call him when you're out there. He'll help you out.
And you're like, I'm going to call him I'm out there.
And I did. And the first few times I got the whole like Hollywood runaround. Like, oh, he's not here. We'll give him your message. And then one time when I was like, I'm pretty persistent.
Yeah.
So I think I know that fine line though before like persistent and stalker. So I was like,
is there a line?
I will keep him. Oh, Josh. Yeah. I'll get you in trouble. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to try one more time to see what happens. Yeah. So talk about like meant to be. He answered the phone and I recognized his voice because his company is Paul Rodriguez Productions. And he said PRP really fast. And I was like, I recognize that voice. And I was like, is this Paul? And he's like, yes, it is. And I'm like, I'm friends with Little Joe. I did a movie with him. Like everything I can squeeze in like a minute.
Yeah. One breath.
Exactly. Just he said you could help me out.
Yeah. He said you would take me under your wing.
Exactly. Do it now. Yeah. So he was actually really cool. And he's like, okay, we'll come on to the office and we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
And so when I was there and I told him everything, and I had been Miss Teen Expo in El Paso, so I told him like my whole repertoire, like nice. I did pageants and I grew up in family.
You're selling
in
yourself,
the arts.
Right? Like,
I was.
This is why you're going to hire me. Yeah.
Well, crazy, because he didn't have a job opening or anything, but he looked me in the eye when I was done talking and he's like, look, I can't offer you much a month. He's like, but I like your personality, like your spunk, your persistence. He's like, I will hire you as like a part-time assistant here at the production company until you get your feet on the ground.
Which that is ended amazing up, yes. For someone fresh, you know, off the plane.
Off the boat from El Paso.
Right?
Off the boat.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Off the plane.
I'm glad you said it because I was thinking it and that's why I said off the plane.
I'm thinking of that TV show, Fresh
I love
Off the
fresh
Boat.
Off, yeah.
It's like, hilarious. So that's pretty much how I got my start was working like in his, and I'm like from El Paso and I'm used to stage and like nothing to do with film. And all of a sudden I was thrown into this production company, which was actually a really, really great experience. And I was there for almost 2 years.
With Paul.
Paul, yes.
Okay.
So I did everything like that had to do with like production work. He had a comedy special at the time, Fantasy Springs. He had all this. So I did all the production stuff and learned that end of it.
And more importantly, you had your foot in the door.
I did.
Right?
Yes,
isn't that like the biggest step anyone can take in the industry? Is getting in the industry?
My first audition because of him and Scott Montoya was for the Selena movie.
Hey.
And so, and that was another thing I had been telling.
That brought you back to Texas, right?
Right. It was sunny. I had been telling people at Lerner, I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to audition for the lead role in Selena.
Yeah.
I did. So I guess there's something to be said for manifestation too. Like what you believe and you create and all that kind of stuff. I'm a big believer in that. But
J-Lo got it though.
Ugh, oh, darn it.
J-Lo.
So funny because my mom was like giving me slack about it one time and I was like, Mom, that like made her career. Like that was her destiny. Can you imagine like J-Lo without Selena? You can't even fathom that world because that was totally meant to be for her.
Yeah, it was, because before that she was she even acting much, or was she still
she was actually
in Living Color, is that
so her and I were actually at Warner Brothers one time together, and Scott knew who she was, and Scott was Paul's producer at the time and manager, and so they handled all the audition stuff for me. And it's like, that's Jennifer Lopez, but nobody really knew, like in the industry they knew, and they were like, she's on the brink. I think she had done Money Train.
Oh, you know? Right, yeah, you're right.
And so it's so funny when my mom says stuff, I'm like, yeah, Mom, that was like her career making role. I think there was a little bit of a destiny thing there. I couldn't have done anymore.
Okay.
I couldn't have done anymore. So that was like my first big audition. Long story short, I ended up going to, because we could go on forever, promise you. I was there for 16 years. I ended up signing up for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts shortly after, and that's when I stopped working with Paul and kind of decided that I was going to focus full time on my career instead of like the production part of it.
Right.
Well, it came full circle because when I was in my late 20s, I had auditioned for so much, like everything you could possibly imagine, from like Spanglish. I don't know if you're familiar from that movie.
I love it. The Adam Sandler movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to talk like this. And then,
exactly.
And then, Pirates of the Caribbean, like every, I had Paul's son and I had auditioned to play his kids in a TV pilot that he was doing for Warner Brothers. So I had like everything you can imagine. And I'd gotten to a really frustrating point because I'm fluent in Spanish. So commercially I was able to do a lot.
Right.
I was able to do both markets, which
That's
was a blessing.
That's very sellable to be bilingual.
It is. And, but it hadn't really gotten very far, like film or TV. Mm-hmm. And it always was like, I'd hear feedback from my agents of like, she doesn't look Latin, or she's not Mexican enough for, you know.
Not Mexican enough.
Which is the craziest thing to hear, because I'm like, pero soy mexicana. Yeah. Like, what more can I give you? I am Mexican.
Yeah, that is who, so, yeah.
But it's unfortunately the stereotype, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I got driven by the stereotypes to create my own production company. And that's like kind of when the magic started happening. And I ended up doing a play, and it was like my first time out. I really just was one of those people that researched everything, because I hadn't really studied, other than the film acting, I hadn't really, and being in Paul's company, I hadn't really like gone to school for 4 years and studied everything. I was just kind of like a doer.
Yeah.
And I researched everything, put up my own play. It was called The Art of Being. Glamour magazine and Toyota came calling a few months after, and I was up for like an award, and I was a finalist. I won a car. I ended up winning the award.
Won a
and
car.
It was for, yes. Man. Which is crazy.
You had me at car. Like, exactly, I don't care about the award.
Well, it was funny because when they called, sadly, when I moved here, I lost my answering machine, but I had all these great messages saved.
Aww.
And theirs was one of theirs. And I was like getting ready to jump in the shower, and they're like, hey, Adriana, it's so-and-so from Glamour magazine. And I, and back in the answer machine times, 2006.
You're dating yourself a little.
I knew. and I thought, like, I won a lipstick. I seriously was like, I have no concept like what they're calling about. I must have entered some giveaway for makeup.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just wanted to call and tell you that you're a finalist for that. And I like rushed the phone. And I was like, hello?
I'm here.
Forget the shower.
Yeah.
And then she's telling me everything. And then she's like, and you're also, you know, you're going to have to sign this release because you're up for a car and you have to pay the taxes. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So it was very much like one of those moments where you're like, everything happens for a reason. And even though I didn't get all these roles, like, I'm a big believer that the universe has got your back when you follow your heart. So that I did
the
that.
The pieces were coming together.
Like, so awesome.
That is an amazing light bulb moment, right? When the pieces come together.
It is. And it was, because here I was like all these years knocking on the doors going, please let me talk like this. Please let me play the character you want me to play.
Yeah. I'm Latina.
I promised you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening. Yeah. And so it was like, here I went like, okay, I'm done like banging your door down. I'm going to do my own thing. And boom, like the door opened.
How amazing.
Everything was magical.
Yeah.
It was crazy because 2 years later, there I was on the red carpet in Rome with my favorite author because I won his film competition.
Yeah.
So it was like another thing through my production company. It was another huge like, hey, like follow your heart. Do what feels right
happen.
To you. Yeah. No matter what, like where you are, you don't have to listen to anyone but yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially in LA where they're like constantly telling you how to act, how to be, who to, you know, like.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as actors, we parlay that into our personal life. And it's like, it's one thing to become the character and try to be the character for them. But to like let them tell you how you should look or how much you should weigh or all that stuff is like madness.
Nonsense, right?
No room for individuality. You just got a whole bunch of robots, you know, looking like each other.
You got to be within this criteria.
Exactly. And, yeah. I think there's so many, I have so many talented friends in LA. It's not even funny. And like even when I auditioned for my play and my film and stuff, there's so much talent. Just it's the ratio of jobs to talent. Like there's just so much more talent. I feel like it can be a soul crusher from the angle of why didn't I get that job? And I know I could have done it. And it's like, because there was like 200.
You know what,
the
though? Like the step you took, though, I think technology is enabling more people to step out like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, for sure.
Like video equipment is as affordable as it's ever been to produce high quality stuff.
Exactly.
External lighting,
that,
audio, whatever. I mean, we're all, you know, I do very, very small budget productions for audio or video.
Yeah.
But you don't have to spend a whole lot anymore to get a good quality result. You know, it's amazing to me. And how, you know, we were talking about it before recording, like Austin, Texas in general, blowing up with creatives in productions, you know,
crazy.
People filming all the time in Texas, people doing all sorts of different productions. It's pretty cool.
Crazy. And what you're talking about is great. Like it's become so accessible. Like when I got to LA, I was 19 and I had the black and white headshots and your demo reel was on a VHS tape.
I'm really, not a Laserdisc.
Okay, really dating myself.
No,
I had
come
an 8-track with me.
Who doesn't still use VHS? Come
right?
on.
Yeah, that's how I show up at my auditions.
That's
what do
how
mean?
I still.
You don't want this.
I love
you
it.
Want some little tiny email with the link.
Yeah, wait, what? You? What's an MP4? What is that?
Right, exactly. But exactly what you're talking about is kind of what, like, parlaying into what the school is exactly what happened. Like, I move back, I come back full circle. So I've done all that stuff in LA.
Put in your time.
Yeah, but some life circumstances, like my friend who was the DP of my film in Rome passed away, and he was only 38 years old. And then like a few months after that, my birth father, who I didn't really know, passed away. And then I got hired on a Honda commercial and I got fired like the day before, and they still had to pay me because they had hired me, but they decided that the second girl was better for the part than I was. Like just stuff that happens in LA, but it was happening like constantly. So I was like, I think I'm going to go to Austin for a little while. Just, I have, like I was mentioning earlier to you, I have a sister who owns a flower shop in town and she went to UT and she was a reporter and my mom's in San Antonio. And I was like, I'll just go get away for a little while.
Austin is Yeah.
Yeah.
Close to the things you love. The people
right.
Love.
Without yeah. it being all
There's
in my face.
There's a lot to be said for being around that.
Yes, exactly. And it turned out to be like, I'm a big believer in everything happened for a reason. And obviously when they died and I lost the commercial and then I lost my home, like all these series of events happened. And yeah. I call it like the universe stripping me of everything and yeah. God going like, I've got your back, don't worry. But in the moment you're like, what the heck is yeah. happening?
Why
like,
me?
Every step I take yeah. or something.
Woe
like,
is me.
Yeah.
The sky is falling.
I mean, I
yeah.
tried as hard as I could, but when you're dealing with death, it's like you realize like when my friend was so young, you realize like, you know, at any moment life just changes.
Totally.
So it's like, I thought I was going to come and take a break, and I met my fiance on my first project. Yeah, here, okay. yeah, yeah. On my first project that I did out here, I was like, I'm going to get my feet wet in Texas with the 48-hour film competition, which is like crazy because you have to do everything in 48 hours.
Wow.
And that's where we met, and we met together, and we worked together, and we fell in love. We have a kid now. We have a two-year-old, two-month-old. I wish. Two-year-old. Yeah. Time flies. And then that's obviously I decided to stay. And then boom, like the first year my son was born, I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like how much like consuming it is. But it's so beautiful because I've lived in LA and done all that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'll work again. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
And you were okay with that.
I was, because I had lived so much.
Yeah.
I mean, to walk the red carpet in Rome with your favorite author whose books you used to read
yeah.
so that you could survive LA.
Yeah, life complete.
Pretty crazy. I was like, how often can someone say, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the book The Alchemist, but that was
yeah,
the book.
Oh, totally. Oh,
that
wow.
was the
okay.
Well, that's his biggest book, but the book that I won for was a book called The Witch of Portobello. Okay. It was like international film competition with like, I think 6,000 entries or something. And there was like Dang. 16 winners total. So, and I think I was the only Latina. It was crazy. So you're like, been there, done that, won a car, like
yeah
I'm not. And
you were happy with your career.
I was yeah. And then boom, like all of a sudden, you know, when it's your passion, it's still, I had an agent, so I was still auditioning. I even shot like a TurboTax commercial.
Oh, that's what kept you in. You didn't get rid of the agent.
I didn't get rid of the agent, no. And I even shot the TurboTax commercial. I did some reshoots when I was pregnant with my son. And then after he was born, we did a Lowe's campaign together. When he was like 1 year
no
old,
way.
He's in the commercial.
So he's
with
already
me.
Got credits
he's
to his name.
He already does. He oh, like man. Started working much younger than I did.
Does he have an agent?
He does. No, I'm just kidding. And so then I got hired by the Paramount, and I met with Chad Dyke, who I adore, who basically is like responsible for creative arts of Austin, and, you know, in the way that I see it. And he was like, you know, there's a lot of stage stuff, but there's not really any film, and so much production is coming here. And I feel like these yeah. kids don't know what to do because stage there's is a, so different than film.
Right, exactly.
Like, let's fill that void. And I did for 3 years at the Paramount in their summer camps. And then he hired me at the Zachary, and I did teach there as well. And then it got to the point where my son is the most important thing in the world to me. And
what?
He is.
That
I know, right?
Awful. Why wouldn't you put your career
first,
Adrian?
Because I kind of did that.
No, that is very, yes, that's very honorable. That scene, yeah, you had your family as your priority.
He, like, him and my fiance are my world. And, yeah. Like, getting to see everything. Like, he's going to Spanish immersion school twice a week now. And I dropped him off yesterday for the first time, and I cried all the way home. All the way to Wendy's. You know how we were talking about Flying Goat, and yeah. I trained with her? I cried all the way, and I cried during session, and I was like, I want to go pick him up. This feels weird.
Yeah, Wendy Ray, not Wendy's the restaurant. She's talking about
right,
Wendy
right,
Ray,
right.
A flying goat.
Flying goat.
Yeah, if you're, yeah. Most. You and say like, Wendy's, someone's going to go, why was she crying at Wendy's? Like,
give me a frosty.
Have you ever had their food? That makes you cry. Sorry, that's rude. Wendy's doesn't sponsor. They don't even listen to this. It doesn't matter.
They have a great chicken sandwich. New, like, antibiotic-free chicken sandwich.
Hey, I used to eat their chili. Because I'm cheap.
I don't want to know what's in there.
You know, it tasted like something.
I'm not quite sure what.
But no, Wendy Ray. Yeah, well, she's been on this show
she's
before.
Awesome.
I love her. Yeah, she's a blast. So you work out with her?
I do. Okay. And I just like in between everything we're talking about, I gained 50 pounds with my son, and I had tachycardia, and I'm actually working it off with her. And it's crazy because I've been dancing for like a year and trying so hard, and my cardiologist is like quite crankly, you have to get the weight off in order for your heart to like settle again.
Right.
And working with her is like insane. I didn't think as a dancer, a trained dancer, I didn't think I'd be able to do it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm lifting these weights. This is like insane. And
empowering too, right?
Empowering. And she's incredibly helpful.
Yes.
And she lets you like listen to your body, and yes. She's not like, I think people see CrossFit as like, you will do this, you know, and it's yeah. She's not like that at
you
all.
You know, I'll be, for the sake of transparency, as mm-hmm. much as I love Wendy and all the other CrossFit and all the mm-hmm. other working out people, I don't like working out.
Right? No, that's how I was. This is I want to dance. I don't want to work out.
I don't even want to dance. This is a body by Sonic. I
You and my fiance should hang out. No,
exercise. Shout out to the guys at Dojo Kyle Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I wrestle a few nights a week. That's what keeps me from obesity and diabetes, I think. But I've been trying to get Whataburger to sponsor this show forever. And
hey,
they
sponsored my play. Yeah. Let's talk.
Did
after
they?
The, yeah, oh, let's talk
God.
After the.
I will work for food.
They were no, but it's funny. They were a financial sponsor, and then they were also a meal sponsor.
Oh, there you go.
So a few of my cast from LA were from Texas, and they're like, yes, Whataburger.
Yes.
It was funny.
Oh, God. Yeah, if it wasn't for jiu-jitsu, I would be obese and suing Whataburger for diabetes or something. Anyway, though, let's get back
to
you.
Back to the story.
So you're in Austin. You're at Zachary Scott.
And then I start auditioning after my son. Because as you know, the first year, it's like you're there all the time.
God,
and you're like,
yeah.
I don't know
they're
if I'll
needy.
Ever work again. Those darn kids.
Those damn kids.
So then all of a sudden, it's like all the stuff. Like he was, I think, a little over a year when I got the call to audition for From Dusk Till Dawn, the series. And then shortly after, I got the call to audition for HBO's The Leftover with Justin Theroux. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yes.
But I love him. He's an amazing writer. He's been around in LA forever.
He's not Texas-based.
No. The show came to
right on.
No, he's married. Like, it's sad because I feel like a lot of people know him from being married to Jennifer Aniston. And it's like, no, this guy wrote Tropic Thunder and just like is so... And Zoolander.
No, it's Jennifer Aniston's old house. Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's like it's Justin Theroux. And my scene was with him. And so that was like the most amazing experience. And he was like the kindest guy ever. And then, so both shows were like co-star roles. And then I had just come off shooting the Lowe's campaign with my son. And then I shot a Go Local Texas Agricultural Department campaign.
You were working plenty.
I was thinking I wasn't going to work again. Yeah. And then it just started taking off. And that's like what you and I were talking about earlier, where the more you're like in the flow of things. In LA, it's a great city, and I would not be where I am today without it. And like my play wouldn't have been born without it, and all that frustration of like not auditioning for parts, you know, not getting them, and not auditioning for like American roles and always being stuck in Latina and not being Latina enough. But all that like birthed where I am today. So I can't be like, I hated LA, because it's not true.
No, it was part of your path.
But one of the things that about it is that it's always in your face. Always billboards, you know, be a better version of you. Like there's no like room for individuality. So it's always like BBB. And Austin's the complete opposite of that. So when I'm here and I'm like raising my son and I'm in the flow, and then to have the opportunity to work, and what you and I were saying earlier, you just let go and you let it flow and it happens.
Austin's
in LA,
tranquilo.
You're like, exactly. Tranquilo.
Yeah.
You don't even know. Like, you're not driving down the highway thinking this is an industry, you know, related place. And it is so much right now, and it's growing so much.
Right. Which is great for creatives, right?
It's like, so awesome.
Town is flooding with creatives.
I get to live two dreams, which is, you know, have my own family and be able to raise my son and then still be able to work.
Yep.
And not feel like I have to work. Like, it just comes and flows, but I've got this life to raise. You know, I'm really happy doing that. Long story short, that got a little bit hard at the Paramount, just because when I signed on with them, there was obviously obligations and understandings of what the job required.
Yeah. And motherhood is a whole job in its own.
God.
Absolutely.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
Trying to keep two is, my wife's a teacher, and I sympathize plenty with her. She loves her job.
Yeah.
But, you know, she comes back, and the motherhood roles that she wants to fulfill as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man.
I don't
think that's rough. Like that, working full time and being a mom. Oof.
It's funny because I feel like people sometimes can be so unsure. I mean, I was ignorant at one point. I didn't have kids. You don't realize like how tough it is until the child is in your arms and you're like, I've got to keep this kid alive.
Yeah.
the
their survival depends
the
on me.
On, yeah.
Specifically, my children relying on me is terrifying.
Right.
It should be to anyone who knows me.
So you're not going to babysit my son.
Like, no, God, I don't babysit my own. No, I'm joking.
Does your wife know?
Yeah. She knows. Yeah.
Like she thinks I'm babysitting them, but I'm not.
Yeah. No, I just put an iPad in their arms and go, don't kill yourself.
Please. Yeah. Your mom's counting on me.
Yeah. Your mom. Exactly. So with the kid, you had the realization, right? That
I can't be at the Paramount anymore, because also too, like I hold myself to a very high standard. So it's like, if I said I was going to fulfill all these obligations, I want to be able to.
Exactly.
And I can't anymore. And even if it's just like a 2-week course in the summer camp, I can't, like, I just can't do it. And the Zach was 6
understandable.
Weeks. Yeah. So two students, Marielle and Natalie's mothers, were like, hey, our kids want to keep working with you. And my fiance and I had this idea of the studio like a year prior, but hadn't really followed through on it.
Is that a pipe dream?
Yeah, it was like, okay. And then I looked at him and I was like, it's time. Like, I feel like the universe is saying, here are these kids that want to keep working with you. It's time to branch out on your own, you know, and still be able to pass on.
And when you're doing it on your own, you can make it manageable to your life.
Well, I'm only going to teach on the weekends.
Oh, perfect.
It's like, you know, this is like the studio's in Plum Creek, and this is going to be something that like I can pass on my passion. Like the biggest thing for me is growing up in El Paso, if you had told me when I was 19, which is almost 20 years ago, that someday the work would be in the state of Texas, like as much as it is now, I would have never believed you, you know, because it seems like it's only in LA and you've got to travel there. So these opportunities are coming for kids with dreams, because I was once a kid with a dream, you know, and I sat at Carnegie Hall when I won the award from Glamour, and there was like David Bowie was there and Iman and Sandra Bullock. And I was just thinking the whole time, I'm a kid from El Paso, like, and this happened, you know, these dreams can come true.
Right.
And now, like, the biggest thing is like, yeah, that can come true. And you have to make a 20-minute drive to the audition. You don't have to get on a plane and go to LA.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to take your $500 and
exactly. Darn it. I wish I could get those back. Yeah. No, but like, I've known people who like will take their whole kids and their family and everything and go audition.
Uproot
and like,
the lives.
Yeah, and, just for like pilot season or different reasons like throughout the year
you
to go
pursue
audition.
It here, homegrown.
Exactly. So I was like, I would love to continue to be able to pass on my passion. I wish I'd had film training growing up in El Paso, because it was mostly obviously stage and it was great training. But now like here it is, and I hope I can help your kid on the way to their dream. I mean, the greatest thing for me would be to one day to turn on TV and there's one of my students, you know, and they're living their dream. Because I think we get so caught up in like the 9 to 5, and you know, we're all different, we're all individuals, there's creatives and there's, you know, types that have to have like, you know, that fulfill that need, and but dreams are still very valid and dreams are very important. And I think there's nothing worse than getting to the end of this lovely journey and being like, I wish I'd done something.
Oh man, how heartbreaking, right? Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm hoping
if you have that deathbed moment, how sad.
Right. And I know I will. I'll be like, I went to Rome and I want a car and my son is healthy, you know, all these.
I'm not gonna have a deathbed moment. I'm gonna have a massive coronary from all the Whataburger I eat. There won't be a
last bite. Yeah. Last bite on the
I won't even have a chance. I'll just be like, why is my head hurt?
Oh, and then you'll be with Whataburgers forever.
Womp, womp, womp. Sorry, making me sad.
No.
So creative, brand new.
Well, we started last fall.
I was going to say, you're very new, especially to the area. Creativeartsofaustin.com is the website.
Yes.
Tell people, I mean, we went vaguely over like the things you cover. What is y'all's bread and butter? Like what if you could, you know, say your buzzword friendly paragraph about Creative Arts of Austin, what is it y'all do?
Well, right now the main course is mine. As you know, I'm the founder and instructor. And so the main course is the film acting. So that course is all about learning how to act for the camera. It's right there in the title, right?
Perfect.
So we learn everything from like the technical side of it. Like it's a 6-week course, but I really like they walk away with what I feel is a lot of knowledge. We work on commercial scripts, work on improv. Like the whole Lowe's campaign I shot was improvised.
Really?
Hidden cameras, improvised. So when they were casting, they were like, we need people that are going to be like on their toes asking these employees, like, you know, all the right things without seeming acted out. So that's happening a lot in acting too, where it's improvised.
Yeah.
And so we learn how to improvise, which is actually a lot harder than it looks. It takes a lot of listening.
It is a learned thing.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of being in the moment and listening to each other and working off each other. And then we learn about the script acting for commercials, and each kid gets one commercial that they get to film. So we have backdrops in the studio.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so we film so they can get an idea of what it's like to film in front of a green screen, because I shot a Burger King commercial, which is on the beach, but it's not. It's a sound stage with a green screen. So they get learn. They get to learn about that too. We do mock to get them. Sometimes like headshots are kind of uncomfortable because you're posing for a stranger.
Yeah.
So we do mock commercial. We do mock headshots in the class, and they get to like pose and get to like get comfortable in front of the camera and get an
idea. So you're giving them the whole experience.
Everything.
Man.
Like they learn how to slate for the camera. So when you walk into an audition, they're always say to you like slate your name and then profile. So they learn what all that means, hit your mark. And then once we cover those things, like very first session, we quickly move into like commercials, and then we cover commercial for 2 weeks, and then we move into television. I can't reveal my source, but I've got a great friend in LA and who actually her uncle was my principal in elementary in El Paso. There you go. It's crazy.
So people do your homework and you can find out who it is.
But she's amazing. And I get all these great scripts for current TV shows. So the kids get to work. The kids
with real actual Hollywood writing.
Dr. Ken and the Goldbergs.
Really?
Yeah. So I have Carrie Diaries. So I've got some really good. So they get to work like what's really hot. And the commercials, I've either done them or auditioned for them. So these scripts that they're getting is actually what's going on in the industry right now.
Yeah.
So then the final project is the filming of the scene. So they get to cover commercials, the technical side,
it's
filming.
Sit Suites, Saturdays.
Sundays.
For Sit Suites. How many hours per?
12 to 2. And then the last, so 2 hours per session. And then the last session, because we're doing everyone's filming, tends to go a little bit longer than that. So we warn the parents. We're
that's
like,
a lot of info that you cover.
Yeah.
Are the kids, how have they been receiving it? Like your students so far, you said you started in the fall.
Do you know how Wendy and I met? Her daughter was one of my first students.
Oh, right on.
That's
okay.
How we met. Yeah, her daughter came and took the course, and her daughter was, I have all like a variety of students, like kids that have been doing stage forever or kids that have never done anything.
Right.
And her daughter did the best, like at the end of the, she was kind of shy at the beginning, and at the end of the course, she was like so amazing, and she did a scene from Dr. Ken, and it was just, it's so nice to see like this, you know, they have this interest for something and they're not quite sure how it'll go, and just to see the blossoming in the course, you know, transition of the 6 weeks was pretty crazy. And then the one of the other students was repeating the course. She was Natalie, the whole reason that I was starting Creative Arts of Austin.
Yeah.
One of the kids from the Paramount. So Wendy's daughter was like a great example of like, here's what can happen if you really just go for it. And I create an environment where it's like, there's no judgment. I was once your age. I know it's a far time away, long, long ago. But I know what it's like to like, you know, be a teenager and have a dream and have, you know, and feel also like I need to be perfect or I need to do, you know, this is an environment where it's like, hey, this is where you learn. This is where you make the mistakes. Yeah. It's not a big deal at all.
Yeah. We're not filming it secretly and put on YouTube and laugh
not
at you.
Not at all.
No, that's
who
my studio
told you, Joshua? Damn it.
That's what I do. So I offer classes where I just laugh at you.
That was a private link.
Yeah, that was a private
Wendy.
So yeah, you talk about, I mean, we covered that you youth and teens and young adults. What is like, what's the minimum age you typically take? And what's like the oldest that you typically take?
So right now my focus is like 9 to 18 year olds.
Okay.
If the parents,
that's a good range.
Yeah, well, if the parents are comfortable with a 9-year-old being in there with the 18-year-olds, I'm totally okay with it.
Right.
The Paramount had a like thing where they were like 10 to 18. And then they would sneak in some other kids whose parents were like okay with them being in there. Obviously, all the footage, all the material is tailored to the age, so it's all age appropriate.
Yeah,
you know, I've been doing this for 3 years now, for going on 4. So like, I know what is going to be fitting. I even with Wendy one time, I was like, hey, take a look at the script. I want your daughter to do this scene. Just want to make sure that you're comfortable with
exactly.
her doing this scene.
Yeah,
you know,
let the parent vet it.
Exactly. It's also about respect. Like if you're, because acting is about becoming a character.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of times where you'll get stuff that you're like the character on From Dusk Till Dawn, the series. I'm nothing like. She was a meat factory worker. You know, she worked late nights. There was no like relating to her. The character on The Leftovers with Justin, very relatable because he left his child unattended. So I scolded him like in a laundromat about it. And I was like, that's, you know, that's what's been brought out in me ever since having my own son. Yeah. I probably would say to someone, hey, your child is crying.
I
come
can
on,
do
dude.
That.
Yeah. So, but acting is acting. So like sometimes you'll relate to the material and sometimes you won't. So I like to push the kids into stuff that's like, once I get to know them, I'm like, I know your comfort zone. We're not going to stay there.
Awesome.
We're not going to stay there. Cause what are you going to learn if you just come in here and do the things that you already know you can do?
Exactly. Right? Totally. And so, is your classes based on like you have a class that starts, let's just for conversation sake, this Sunday and then the next one won't start for another 6 weeks?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So I'm kind of basing that based on, because we are new, like the kind of response that we get.
Right on.
And I am so open to like, I'm limiting. Okay, so the Paramount, the last year I had 15 students and that was crazy. Like there was
just
not
for you,
yes.
one instructor,
yes,
15 kids.
There was not enough time to like do everything I had been able. Like the first session I think was like 7, and then I think it was like 10 the second year, and then they maxed it out at 15. But I was going crazy because I was like, this isn't fair.
And how do you give personal attention?
Not that they even knew that that was going to happen because they're not the instructors, but I was like, this is crazy. This is way too much. So it was a great lesson learned because I was stressing over like raising my son and getting footage for the parents and all these things happening that I was like, this is a great lesson. Let's take the lesson. So my class is going to be limited to anywhere from like, I think tops I would have like 7 or 8. If that. So I'm open to like, depending on the response, to adding a second class immediately right after that one, or like adding to a Saturday, or adding
well,
to the repertoire.
Well, being that you're the one who are in control of it, you have that flexibility, right?
So depending on response, we could totally start like that same weekend or the weekend after with a second class. But I won't do more than like a certain amount of students in the class because I want the kids to learn.
Right. And trying to keep it fair for everybody. Well, it wouldn't be fair for you as the instructor either, right? To have 50, I don't know. My wife, she might laugh. In her class, she's maxed out for the state limit at like 22. And I've been in there before. I'm like, how the hell do they give one person this
many students?
Goodness.
I mean, in any scenario where you're a teacher, an instructor or something, you want the kids to learn. I mean, that's why you're in it.
That's the goal.
Yeah, the goal is
not just a job. It's
pass something on.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was just a job, I'd be like, I'm taking 20 students.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because it's more money.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So
it's not what we're about there at all. And I'm all about like kids following their heart and, you know, I've had students who were like in the first, I had a great student who was like wanting to go bathroom every 5 minutes from the last session of the Paramount. And I knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And by the end, he was the one jumping up, wanting to get in on the action, you know? And it's like, we go through the process of like, I understand that you're going to be nervous and that's okay. And you're going to eventually learn, you know, to let all that go because we are our own worst critics, I feel, based on what we're raised to believe. And if you can just let those voices go and really just tune in with yourself, and that's another thing I like to provide in my class, is like, forget everything that you hear at school, everywhere else, forget it.
Yeah.
Like, this room, just listen to what feels right to you and listen to yourself, because the committee can get overwhelming. That's what I call it. Like, all those voices of people telling you can't or you shouldn't or this is stupid or all that stuff, they're not talking about you. They're talking about their experience, and then they're projecting. Yeah. So like, this is a room to like, forget all that.
Yep. You're not going to project anything on them.
This is all about like your best version of this character and your best version of this script and giving it your all and letting go of what anybody else thinks, because that's the greatest gift this industry has given me. Like, I heard a saying once and it stayed with me forever. And it said, draw a circle around yourself. Anything outside of that is none of your business.
Hey,
not that I can't. Yeah. I'm like, not that I can every day think that. And especially when you become a mom, you're even more sensitive for your son.
Or even if you're living in a neighborhood like we do in Plum Creek.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're like,
sorry, stabbing at Plum Creek.
Wait. Never mind.
The people who listen to this live in Kyle. They know.
So that's kind of like the mentality we have in the room. Like, it really doesn't matter. I know that we're in an industry where you're going to get judged, and like that judging is going to be like what gets you the job or not. But technically it's not. Like, it's
right.
They don't have, yes, they have the power to give you the job, but you have more power because they need you. They want the actor that they, you know, to get the role so that they can make their job easier. So your job is to forget about anything else they might be thinking of and just go in there and do the best version of the character that you can, and know that if it's meant to be, it will be.
Exactly.
You know, and that's like, obviously I'm 39. That's where I've arrived after many years of being in this industry, you know, but it's not always, it's definitely not a thing you're thinking when you're 13 or 14.
Right. But that is great to have an instructor who can impart the wisdom and experience.
Thank
right
you.
That's what you bring to the table. I mean, that's why you know, not buttering you up for the sake of selling your class, but that's why you're doing the class, right? And that's why you feel confident. I can tell you're very confident in your abilities to help these kids at least pursue their dreams, if not achieve it, which you can't make a kid achieve anything, obviously.
No.
But you can definitely take them, you know.
I say this about all of us, right?
Yeah.
So you're a flashlight for me right now, and you're lighting a path to my studio becoming successful.
Right.
Well, I just want to be a flashlight for them on their path, on their way to figuring
out,
like, do I want to do this? Is this going to be a hobby? Because, you know, Austin's the kind of city where it can be a hobby.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a career.
Yeah, do your 9 to 5.
Nobody's
act on the weekend.
Pressuring you to, like, be an actor.
Audition. Don't get heartbroken if you don't get it, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that kind of doesn't necessarily go away. I mean, I was up for a Comedy Central pilot in January, and I was like, I'm going to book this
You're
role.
Still working.
I'm going to book this role. This is mine. Like, I just, everything felt right.
Yeah.
And I told my agent, I'm like, this is in the bag. And there was, I think, only like 5 of us up for the role, and it was a co-star role. The girl's from San Antonio, the lead girl. She was on Saturday Night Live. Noelle.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, she was on like her name is Noelle.
She was one of the, what do they call primetime players? What do they call them now? I forget.
But anyway, it didn't happen, you know, and I had to deal with the aftermath. I really thought that this was going to happen. And you get to like that place again, where remember, like, everything happens for a reason. Rejection is part of the job.
Yeah.
And like, something better will come along. And it always, like, and it's not even necessarily being better, but more fitting.
Right. No, you know? I was just saying, you can't use adjectives like better.
Right.
When the director or casting director or whomever has just what they were looking for.
Right.
Yeah. And if you don't fit it, you don't fit it. Move on.
You're right. There is a key word. Looking, like the way you look sometimes has a lot to do with you getting booked or not.
Yeah.
And like, you can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
Because if you did a performance, like a great performance of the character, and yet your look was not what they were looking for, like, it doesn't matter.
That's why I don't pursue acting.
So much of it is not personal.
If the role was like homeless guy, I might get that role. Well, you know, I'm actually a little bit more clean than usual. The beard is trimmed.
We can write you something.
Yeah.
The homely homeless guy at Whataburger.
Yeah. Oh, God. Please. If they could do a commercial on that. I'm telling you, Whataburger, I'll work for food. I will work for jalapeno cheeseburger.
Their marketing guy, Grant. I'll let him know.
Yeah, let him know.
You've got a show in Kyle that really...
Tell him this guy will work for food. Your sponsorship can be in fries and milkshakes or breakfast on a bun. I'm easy, Whataburger.
He's waiting.
I'll do it for free, Whataburger. You know, before we wrap it up, people that are listening, let's say they're interested in
wanting to... So your mom.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah. Thank you for having that sense of humor. So my mom wants to know how she can get her Pride and Joy enrolled in acting classes.
You're going to take my class. That's right. My one student.
Yeah, that's right. That's what this was all about, was just for my mom to vet you.
I knew it.
Yeah, there's no podcast. These microphones aren't plugged into anything. Now, the people listening, where can they learn more? We already said creativeartsofaustin.com. Right. Are y'all on social media?
Yes. Where can people find out more? Facebook is like /creativeartistofaustin. And then my email is Adriana with one N. Everyone always asks one or two. One N at creativeartsofaustin.com. So if they have any questions, they can definitely contact me through there.
Right on.
And there's the Facebook page, the website. The website actually has like the registration and all the information.
So that's
if they want to take the course, for sure go to the website, because it'll give you like the information on how to hold a seat and, you know, when the class starts and all that kind of stuff.
And is there a phone number that you have out there for people to be able to contact, or not really quite yet?
Oh yeah, no, we do.
Okay.
512-693-8454.
Perfect.
Yeah. So they can call us, they can email us. They can hunt me down in Kyle. Yeah. I go to the Grindhouse a lot. Cross Plants, Flying Goat.
Nice. All the trendy spots.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I say that disparagingly. I mean it, though. Those are hopping places.
Cross Plants.
Yeah.
So my son had really bad colic, and so I did a lot of research, and I put him on a raw milk formula, and there was one ingredient that no one in Kyle sold but Cross Plants. And so I would go there all the time when he was like a baby and pick up that cream. And
they're
I
good
got
people.
To know Jennifer. Yes. Yeah. Well, now they sell me my mommy juice. They sell me my coffee.
My mommy juice. I love
my whole
that.
Bean coffee.
That's hilarious.
I got this kiddo that has been an early riser since he was a baby. And so he'll do like 4 or 5 a.m. wake up calls and call it the day. He's like, good morning, mom. Get up.
What you're up to. Yeah. Jen and Nate are wonderful. Grindhouse. I've been there a few times. I don't get out of this cave much.
Much.
Unfortunately. That's why I look the way I do. Appreciate you.
It's all coming together now.
It is.
These mics aren't real.
I'm a hermit.
Your mom's in the next room.
That's right. Yes. All that story about my wife and kids. Yeah. Just made up.
What was that movie with Will Ferrell when he, I think he lives, oh wait, yeah, the Wedding Crashers. Will Ferrell's character lives with his mom.
That's right, he does. I was about
he's
to
like
say
a ladies
step,
man.
I was about to say Step Brothers, but totally different, almost the same kind of character.
But like he's out in the world like pretending he's a ladies man, but he's
definitely
living in his mom's home.
Yes, I don't even take the step of pretending.
I get your inspiration.
That's right, my life. On that note,
you're
thanks
awesome.
For the awkwardness.
You're so welcome.
It was a pleasure having you. Thank you for taking the time to come over and do the interview.
In all seriousness, thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
really appreciate it.
And that will do it for this episode of the Kyle Life Podcast. If you'd like more information on Creative Arts of Austin, visit their website at www.creativeartsofaustin.com, or you can check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/creativeartsofaustin, or give them a call at 512-693-8454. For KyleLife.com and the Pearl Media Network, I'm Joshua Steubing. Thank you for listening.